Mike Max joins us the night after the morning, after the Anaheim Ducks shut out the Wild last night, Maxie, 4-0.
What was that all about, Dave? I mean, it was Anaheim's not very good. They've made a coaching change. They were just ripe to be beat, and this fourth game of a homestand. The Wild now haven't scored two straight games. St. Louis shuts them out. Anaheim shuts them out. I don't know. You're still in the playoff picture, so if you can't get a good offer, you might as well hang your hat on that. And you got to believe at some point in time, if you play hard, that some of this stuff is going to turn around one way or the other in your favor. It just the analytics of hockey tell you that. You know, that statistically speaking, that if you show up every night and you have enough healthy bodies, you're going to win some games. But boy, offensively, you know, they knew going into the season that maybe they were going to be a little bit challenged in terms of scoring goals. But, you know, Staal was coming off an all-star year. Parisi's come back, and, you know, Suter's back and healthy as they thought he was going to be. Granted, they've had injuries to Koivu, and who wasn't, you know, offensively a big threat anymore, and Dumba, who was a big threat. But it's a head-scratcher. Not that the Wild are on the cusp of making or not making the playoffs, but to go on this kind of streak and to see that the Xcel Energy Center has meant next to nothing to them this year in terms of a home ice advantage, that should be one of the, you know, the ultimate, you know, that should be the place people hate to play. And it's just been a non-factor in terms of affecting outcomes.
Miguel Sano is going to miss a week here of spring training because of a celebration when they won the Dominican Winter League.
Sano kind of can't get out of his own way. Even when he conditions and plays winter ball and all that stuff, then he ends up cutting himself on the back of his leg. But that's minor compared to what he's going through to get to this point. If he's healthy, he's lost weight that they say that he's lost. If he can stay injury-free for a year and stay to his diet, then you got hope for this guy. I mean, if he pays attention to his diet and he doesn't get hurt, because that body breaks down a lot, he can do some damage. He's a 30-plus home run guy. He's going to strike out a lot, all those things. You can live with some of that, but you need somebody that can be a big bopper in the middle of the lineup. And he and Nelson Cruz together could do some damage there. C.J. Cron may be on the other side. But and athletically, he's gifted too. But it's just hard to get excited about this kid anymore because you've seen too many pitfalls, too many times where you took the bait and you said, this is the guy, and then boom. And so I approach him like, you know, whatever you get out of him is a bonus right now. And if he turns out to be what he could be a couple years ago, great. But don't count on him. Don't build around him.
I guess we don't get to meet Gary Kubiak until tomorrow. Now, I see the Vikings rescheduled their media schedule for tomorrow to meet Stefanski and all those guys.
I am looking out my window, and I think that's a really good decision. Well, Kubiak can handle it. He's coming from Denver where they have these snowstorms once in a while. But, yeah, they're going to be introduced Kubiak and really the whole group and of coaches. And now that with this snowstorm, they're delayed a day. But, yeah, we'll get out there tomorrow and talk to them. But, yeah, it's Kubiak's going to be interesting to see what his thoughts are and, B, how much authority they give him over the offense. Is he going to be the guy that kind of defends game plan at the beginning of the week? Does he just kind of watch what they're doing during the week and then meet with Stefanski after and tweak it? Does he have much to say about Kirk Cousins? And does he have much to say about personnel they might go after? Because he knows this league well. He's been coaching this league a long time. So he knows who's out there. And they look at free agents, and they look at possible trades. He's been around doing this stuff for a while, so he knows who he likes that's out there right now. So I talked to Ryan Harris down at the Super Bowl, who played for him when they won the Super Bowl. Ryan, of course, from Crete and Durham Hall, and he loves Gary Kubiak. Says that's as good a coach as I ever played for in my life, and I played for a lot of coaches, but he said he's as good as it gets.
Oh, well, that's good. That's high praise, so look forward to that. Yeah, they'll need that. Hey, Maxie, when you come back next hour, a couple of things I would like to discuss with you. The girls' state hockey tournament opens up today, and also the MIAC playoffs got off to a crazy start last night when a game, a buzzer beater, wins that Augsburg game. And so maybe you and I could chat about that, too, if you don't mind.
You got it. Thanks, Dave.
He's Mike Max. You catch him on Channel 4 TV as well here on WCCO Radio. The governor of Minnesota going to join us in just a couple of minutes. 8:39 is our time. We're talking sports. Thanks again to the Lennox Premier Dealers, not only for the weather, but letting us broadcast on the Lennox Premier Dealer Storm Center as well on this busy, stormy morning. Mike Max joins us. Anaheim beats our Wild one more time, Maxie. That was a tough one for the Wild again, and somebody's got to put the biscuit in the basket pretty soon.
Well, I mean, they got shut out at 4-0 again. It was 1-0, and then, you know, they figure, well, if they can get a tying goal, they can get this thing going again. They had some opportunities. They had the power play a lot, too. And Ryan Miller's you know, had a good night, but not great. And they had some opportunities. They couldn't cash in. They had one that maybe they blew the whistle on early that would have slid in from Granlund. But in general, they're just so far away from being an offensive machine or the kind that, you know, you got to figure you need to score three goals to win. And anything after that's a bonus. Well, they're not even close to getting two goals right now. And to get shut out two straight night days at home, I don't know if that's ever happened to them, where they were shut out twice in a row at the X. They're booing at the end of the game, the fans, and rightly so. This team should be better than this. When you've got that many veterans and you've got a payroll like that, and you've got that many guys that are now in their mid-20s, they've played long enough, there's just no reason you should be at this stage of the game. Not that you expect them to win the Stanley Cup, but you're talking about just being competitive at home right now.
Maxie, Mayak basketball playoffs last night, and Augsburg wins on a buzzer beater at the end over St. Olaf.
Yeah, the Copeland kid, he's interesting. We had a piece on him yesterday, David McCoy did. He does the laundry literally for his team. That's his work-study job. So he washes their clothes, and he's one of the leading scorers in the country. And so he can flat-out shoot it. And last night he gets tied with St. Olaf, and they get the ball in last possession. They give it to him and almost look NBA-like. It's like everybody in the arena knows who's got the ball and what he's going to do. And he makes a little jab step and backs it out, shoots a three, hits a buzzer, a rainbow three. And you're just watching this thing float in the air and boom. And Donnie Stoner was nice enough, well, you know, well, to get us a video of it. We got it at 10 o'clock news last night. But it was fun to watch because he knew it was the final possession. Everybody knows it's Copeland or bust, and they're going to overtime, and he makes his three. So, yeah, that was a great win for him. Bethel won, so they'll play St. Thomas and St. John's on Thursday night in round two.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Don Stoner because those guys, give him a shot, the people that do the sports information over at the MIAC, man, that's a lot of heavy lifting. You do most of it by yourself, and you do have some help occasionally, but Gene over at St. Thomas and the guys up at St. John's and all of them, man, nice work.
A lot of guys, and Don called me last night. He says, if I can get you this video, can you get it on? And I said, what do you got? And he says, last second shot. I said, get it over here. I don't know, somehow considered it away, but you know, you're in the office there, and you don't have to do that stuff. You don't have to make those calls or do that stuff. You can simply fill out the box score and go home. And there's a lot of guys in that league that go the extra mile. We all appreciate it very much.
Well, I hate to mention names, but I think of Davey Wright at Hamlin. Anyway, yeah, so I hope the presidents at those universities, I'm sure they do appreciate the load of work those people do over there, and they get like zero credit, but they're eyes and ears for everybody, so salute to them. Hey,
and they're fun to visit with, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they know everything. Yeah, they're sharper.
Before a game, it's just fun to sit and visit with them.
Hey, Maxie, the girls' state hockey tournament starts today.
Jeepers. Good luck getting to St. Paul. I mean, they'll get them in, and because everybody's here already. And War Road comes in the prohibitive favorite in Class A. Breck's been pretty good of late. And then Edina goes for a three-peat starting tomorrow in Class 2A. But Andover beat them earlier this year there as well. And East Ridge, they play in the first round, and they've been pretty good of late. White Bear Lake's been on a little bit of a roll. Every team, I guess, has been on a roll going in. Today... man, get there early, man. If you got a kid playing in that tournament, leave early and plan on staying in St. Paul for the day if you can, because it's going to be one of those. But, yeah, that'll go over. So that starts today, tomorrow, and then Friday and Saturday, the semis and the finals over there. So here we go. And really, this is the week that the tournaments really start from now until basically the next 5 weeks, till Dave Lee calls that final Class 4A boys basketball game at the end of March.
Yeah, you know, I'm still like a little kid, Maxie. I can't wait. You know how you were kids, you and I used to wait for that to come up on TV, and it's just so daggone much fun. It's just kind of...
It is. You know, last night, Minnehaha Academy had a great game with Minneapolis North. They won 63-59, and they had it was packed in there. It was, obviously pre-snow, but, I mean, it was packed, and it was typical, you know, north side of Minneapolis, big game, and Eli Campbell played well for North, and Suggs played well for Minnehaha Academy, and it was just what you want to see. And, you know, I say still scored 101 in girls basketball against Creighton-Durham Hall, and that Hottinger girl had 51 points.
Woof.
For Creighton-Durham Hall. So I don't know how that thing got into a track meet, but it must have.
Yeah, and then up in Virginia, Mountain Iron Buell beat Eveleth Gilbert 5-4 in the boys tournament in three overtimes.
In three overtimes. That's the first round. You know, that's just in kind of. To play the seeded teams. Apple Valley got beat last night as well. So starting tomorrow, really, the quarterfinals, et cetera, for the hockey section start. And then by Saturday, it's it's all in because you get to the semifinals pretty quick.
Any thoughts on the Coach Kill and P.J. Fleck in the interview he did
yesterday? Oh, yeah. He said that on Sirius Radio, he went on and just he gave his take on P.J. and the profile of him since he had him at Northern Illinois as an assistant coach to now. And the one thing is, and I think this is true, and you know, I think P.J.'s got this team going the right direction, make no mistake. But for Coach Kill, you feel like you left a pretty good culture here. You're a 9-win team, and Tracy Clay's after that season, and you feel pretty good about what you did here in your body of work. And if you ever hear that, well, the culture needs to change. If I'm Coach Kill, I'm going, wait a second. Mm-hmm. We had a great culture there, and we got this academically going, rolling too, and really took it going. So I understand what he took offense with over the last couple of years, but hopefully those two can work that out.
Yeah, I get it too, because he did take an academically challenged team and all of a sudden turned it all around. So, yeah, he deserves credit. PJ deserves credit. I guess you can see both sides there, can't we?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that'd probably been Coach Kill was just named the permanent athletic director at Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
As you know, and so he was interim, and now he's a permanent athletic director. So he's figuring all that out there from an administrative standpoint, but he still got the fire in the belly.
Yeah, well, he was a quality guy. So was Tracy. You hate to see that show up in the headlines like that. Hey, you have a great day. I know you got a busy one despite the weather out there, and I'll look for you on TV. What are you going to do on the radio tonight?
Well, I'm going to snowshoe in. No, we're going it's going to be fun because I've just started putting calls and texts in, and I figured nobody's going anywhere tonight, so I should be able to get a hold of them. They don't have any excuses.
Yeah. Okay, Maxie, I'll listen for you tonight. I'll look for you on TV.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Max, 847 WCCO here on the Morning News and the Sports, brought to you by the Good Feet Store.